Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. How many are glad you're in the house of God today and not a hospital? I'd rather be here than the number one hospital in the world. Like, this is the best hospital. You can get counseling. You can get healing. You can get deliverance. Sometimes we need all the above. Amen. I just always delighted to see young people, children involved in quizzing. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate every one of these kids devoting their lives already at a young age to the memorization of the Word of God. You know, we're living in a generation when folks are memorizing Snoop Doggy Dogg and Madonna, and I don't know all of them that are out there, but these kids up here quoting Matthew and scriptures that are cornerstones of not only eternal salvation but for good daily living. Amen. You know, when you think about the Word of God, it's not just something that's a light to get you to heaven. It's just the best way to live. You know, even in this temporal life, it's just the best way to live. There's nothing like having a clean conscience, a guiltless soul. It doesn't mean you're flawless, but at least you know that you have a relationship with God through His Word that will sustain you through any trial, through any temptation, through any failure. The Bible said a just man falls seven times, but the difference between the just and the fool is that the just man gets up. Many of you standing here today have gone through situations, going through situations that are out of your control, but you've gotten up. You've come back to church today. You're faithful to the house of God. And you realize that the Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. You know what that tells me? It tells me that even if you don't need it today, the lamp to your feet, it's a light to your path. There's something in the Word you're going to need tomorrow. You're eventually going to need the principles of this book on your journey. Amen. And this is awesome. And this young man up here, I don't know. I'm going to have to see his birth certificate to believe he's 11 years old. But where's he at? Is he in here still? Oh, okay. He's inside. Well, tell him I said he's a giant in the Word. Amen. That's awesome. All of them are, really. All of them are. And I think your parents that are encouraging your kids, and I know the work it takes, hours a day, the discipline that it takes, and the pattern, as this young man said earlier, the pattern that you're setting right now. There were a couple of young men in my father-in-law's church in Denver that they were twins, and they were involved in the quiz team for several years. They both, and they attributed to Bible quizzing and the memory that it gave them, and the comprehensive skills out of the ability to have a good memory that it gave them. They both received scholarships to LSU. And they both are very, very doing very, very well today. And that's just, you know, the Word of God will help you in more ways than one. Amen. Well, I'm not here to preach about Bible quizzing, but that was a good preliminary anyway. Thank you, Jesus. Before I get into the Word, I want to share with you momentarily my burden. I have started going into home missions churches once a quarter. This past December, I went in for 3 weeks and helped a Metro missionary, Brother Justin Fraley, who is in the Santa Monica, Los Angeles area. And he has really two or three different branch works going. He's not just trying to focus on one area. And we had 13 people receive the Holy Ghost. Now, they hadn't had two or three, you know, at a time in a month. And that'd be like, you know, some places that'd be like 150, 200 getting it in one service. And they've got about 35 people in one spot. They've got about 45 in another. But these missions or these crusades, these evangelistic endeavors, are primarily funded with the money that I make off the materials. The books that I sell, CDs back there. I don't sell Melaleuca. I'm not into Amway. I don't do stock trading on the computer because I don't have time. I spend my time hours a day writing, researching, developing, and this is my field of labor. So I wanted to tell you, I brought the impossibility zone. Some of you bought this book for yourself, but I wanted to make it an evangelistic tool. I've put a Bible study with the book, and last night I mentioned you could get 10 of them for 40, but I'll do it this way. If you're willing to buy at least a number of copies, they're just $4 a piece, $4 for the book and the Bible study together. You can give it to a family member, a friend, at least buy 4, 5, 6, or 7, and give them away. And I promise you, these books and Bible studies will create a dialogue for you. And you may not feel like, well, I don't know if I'm equipped to teach a Bible study yet. Well, this is an easy way to create a dialogue, and maybe for some of the ones that are the professional Bible study teachers in the church, it could open a door for them to teach a Bible study to your friend, or for you to step out and teach a Bible study to them. These books will certainly create that dialogue, I believe. It ministers to the human dilemma. So I know several of you may already have the book, but that's your book. If you want to buy, and I think somebody, the young lady that's watching, standing over the books back there, mentioned somebody bought a book last night for $10. If you bought a book last night, if you go back, she's going to give you another one so that, you know, you're not cheated out of the deal I'm making today. So I want to get them out there. I want these to be seeds that are planted. And everybody say, thank you, Jesus. We're going back in to Los Angeles this summer for 3 more weeks. I feel a real connection there. I want to go back and I just, we're trying to do some things. We're not just doing conventional things. We're actually going to be planning somewhat of a concert preaching type atmosphere in one of the project areas that he's made inroads into, where he meets with about 40 to 50 kids a week. He's already touched many lives there. I want you to know, when you partner with us in the ministry by buying some of this material, you're not just going to bless yourself and your friends and your family, but you're being a part of helping to support a vision and a dream that's beyond just here today. Amen. Amen. So anyway, that's that. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Would you lift your hands to the Lord and ask God to help you today to be sensitive to His Spirit? Lord, you see the needs of so many. In these first weeks of the year, God, where you're establishing vision, bringing into harmony every individual, every member in this church, stir our faith, I pray today, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. And you may be seated. I wanted to start by sharing with you a poem that I wrote. Sometimes this, rather than me sing, this is kind of my preliminary thought that leads into the message. But I think this will bless some of you today. It goes like this. Many want a Jesus to please us, but how can he please us until he frees us? And you wonder if he sees us, but our own sight is caught staring at deception's thought. They say what we want to hear, drawing us near to the fire we think it's desire. But there we find pain, a fiery strain of death, and we spend our every breath needing it, bleeding it. And for what? A Jesus to please us. We create our own God. We think we know better, yet we are life's debtor. For we give up the goal to be so bold, to avoid being told. We choose our own path, escape the cookie cutter's wrath. We will make our own destiny. Ah, destiny. Like a cancer, it eats the rest of me. I can't sleep. I secretly weep, for it lives in me, this destiny. To be free, yet I am not free without Calvary. I am not free, yet I search for meaning, a quest for a gleaning of peace, of joy, of purpose, but sin usurps us. Destiny, like a flame, it consumes me, assumes me to be. What am I to be? The ontological becomes illogical. Am I grown from dust to rust? Am I made only to bust? What is this leaking hope from my heart to be a part of something more, of something great? I am confused, although intelligently infused with books for brains, medicine of words, a soothing for pains. Yet there are not gains, for lies and lust reigns, and I am back to the origin of my quest, for I request a Jesus to please me, to free me, a God that sees me. Would you lift your hands and worship the Lord with me today? I want to talk about grace for a little while today. I want to tell you that without grace, we are at best gross. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I know you got a pretty tie on and you spent time fixing your hair, and putting on that nice smelling perfume or cologne, and you're all debonair and decked out, but without grace, you are at best, like a little kid would say, gross. You do that with me? You kind of have to, you kind of crinkle your nose a little bit. Gross. Because we are gross with the garbage of sin, gross with failures and filth, gross with the stains of iniquity, gross with the decomposing flesh of temptations and addictions, the ugliness of pocked features, leftover markings of a sinful nature reflects from horror's waters. We are sinners, born of the dirt of depravity, bound by the instincts of betrayal. Our beauty is deceptive, for the same face that may glow with perfection and symmetry, amaze onlookers with passion, will soon rot with wrinkles, die with swift age, and become the gourmet meal of worms beneath the sod of broken dreams. Yes, we are at best gross without grace. We gaze upon slimy creatures that turn over the soil and crawl upon toxic bellies. They are full of the earth's decay and bear resemblance to the dead flesh they feast on. We heave at the thought of maggots teeming the moldy remains of discarded trash and the stench of putrefying carcasses laid among buzzing flies in the forest brings quick distaste and often the ruining of our appetites. I certainly hope I didn't mess up your roast. Yet in reality, without grace, we are the maggots, mere larvae of lust, feeding on the dead flesh of greed and sensuality. We think ourselves a higher order, but without the graceful intervention of a loving God, we are simply worms crawling about in the mud-infested domains of pride and lust. That's why the apostle said, a man that thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing deceiveth himself. We call ourselves graceful when we accomplish some human feat, break a historical record, or invent some technological wonder that reshapes daily life. But in reality, without the grace of God, our creative prowess is nothing more than secondary divine nature at work in the sandboxes of finite skill. We build our sandcastles. We construct our religious notions. And when all is said and done, all is done. For everything we build is destined for ashen remnants in the fires of renovation. So what good are we without the grace of God? If he no longer favored us as his prized creation, would we truly become self-existent? Could we bridge the gap between death and eternal life? Could we hope in something more than the temporal comforts of a material world? We are at best without grace. Everybody do it with me with a crinkled nose. Show us how to do it, kids. Okay, no kids. Come on, give me a good one now. That was better. That was better. Without the grace of God, we are the walking dead, a human race mindlessly walking in a trance, rendered powerless as wanderers in a land of iniquity, zombies of rebellion, grave dwellers of debauchery, ghastly haunts of hellish deeds, and everything we touch decays in time. It takes on our sinful likeness, our destructive tendencies. If I entered your house smeared in horse manure, would you think me gross? If I walked around town with stolen grave clothes on, bearing the stench of corpses, would you think me gross? Yet, without grace, we are all, at best, gross. That's why the Bible calls the righteousness of man filthy rags. You can think you justify certain actions because of your upbringing or because of the slant in life that you have taken or because of what has been done to you. Yet we are at best, without the grace of God, gross misfits of this world, desperately in need of deliverance. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and pray in Jesus' name. When I come back to the cross, when I consider what Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, did for me, when I've been on my soapbox, when I have taken the moral high ground on somebody, and I come back in humility and fall upon my face beneath the limbs of that old rugged cross, and I stand in the shadow of that crucified body of a man who was the most innocent man that ever lived, it brings me back to a contrition and a realization that without the grace of God, who am I to turn up my nose at a prostitute? Who am I to scowl at the addiction of another? Who am I to laugh at the pain of somebody who has not been raised in the same world that I was raised in? Who am I to criticize the sinner and to laugh and mock those who do not know the way that I know? Because without the grace of God, I'm the alcoholic. Without the grace of God, I'm the drug addict. Without the grace of God, I'm the one in the divorce court. Without the grace of God, I'm the one being sentenced by the judge. Without the grace of God, I'm the one on a path of destruction. Without the grace of God, I'm the one that dwells day after day in the ghetto of sin, in the nightlife of debauchery and death. Without the grace of God, I am at best gross, lost, a wanderer in the wilderness of confusion, trying to find some mere scraps of temporal escape to feast on. Without the grace of God, you wouldn't be in this house today. So be careful how you judge another, and be careful how you look upon the flaws of another, and be careful how you say, oh, I would never do that because you're doing this. Oh, I would never do this, but you're doing that. And the very, very fact that you're here today, pinching yourself, knowing that there's blood circulating through your body, flesh, carnality, is an acknowledgement that without God, I can't make it. Without God, I can't find my way. Without God, I can't get to where I need to be, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Oh, let's lift our hands and magnify Him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. When you spend more of your time criticizing what people are doing wrong rather than leading folks to do what is right, you are what Jesus called a hypocrite. You are a Pharisee. You are concerned with the outside of your sepulcher while the inside of you is full of dead men's bones, and you have the stench of religious pride. But give me a man or a woman who, after years of being in the church, has still never forgotten where God brought them from.
the skid row of your past, out of the crack house into the church house, off the streets of death and destruction into a refuge of hope and healing. Give me a soul that will shine a light into their world and say, I'm here today because of the grace of God. That's what your world needs. That's what the ghetto areas of Birmingham needs. That's what the high-rise offices of the CEO needs. The high class, the middle class, the low class, the no class. It makes no difference to God. The gospel needs to be preached from one aspect of society to another, from one environment to another, from one culture and race to another. There are no holds barred. There are no walls of partition. There are no prejudices in the church of a living God. Only promises. Only power, only the cleansing, protective coating of the blood. We need our mouths washed out with the blood. We need our eyes washed out with the blood. We need our hearing washed out with the blood, so that when we walk among folk in this world, we are able to say, don't look at me, some arrogant religious fanatic standing up on his isolationist peak of spiritual view, but somebody like Jesus who will walk among the publican and the sinner, somebody you can run to when all hell has broken loose, when your world that you trusted in has broken apart.
Let's lift our hands and worship him in Jesus' name. There is no such thing as comparative holiness. I am not holy today because I look at your flaws and see my perfections. I am not holy today because I see the areas of my transformation and yet I still see you in transition. That doesn't make me holy. I tell you what makes me holy is when I throw that old bloody cross on my back and I carry the message of redemption to places nobody else will go. There's some of you here today, you are equipped with the power of the gospel to go places that other folks can never get to. But don't let that be your pride. Don't come to church and say, well, they could never win them because they ain't never been where I've been. Watch it. Because without grace, friend, you are at best gross. You are at best lost. You are at best a man or a woman in dire need of deliverance from your pit and your past. Let's worship the Lord in Jesus' name. There should never be phrases like this. You mean you're going to let them come to church? What are they doing here? Oh, I don't care if it's the worst homosexual in town. His last chance, her last hope is right here. I don't care how perverted they've been. I don't care how rebellious they've been. I don't care how pockmarked they are with sin. I don't care how many scars and cuts they've got on their life. If they come in here bandaged and they've got one glimmer of contrition, one desire in their spirit that says, I want God, deliver me, Jesus. Help me out of this hellhole. Help me get up out of this mire. Help me get up out of the sucking clay of defeat. I don't want to be lost. You better be there to hand them a word. You better be there to introduce them to the Christ on the cross. You better be there to tell them about the love of God.
Just lift our hands and love him in Jesus' name.
Calvary is really the greatest place of equal opportunity, because it doesn't matter where you are, where you're from, who you are, what you've done.
When you come to the cross, his arms stretched out and nailed to those limbs of atrocity. Tell everybody you're welcome. You're welcome. There are no folded arms. There's no deadpan stare. There's no indifferent countenance. When you come to the cross, you can come with your burdens and your baggage. You can come with your sin and your sorrow. You can come with your guilt and your loss of self-respect. When you come to the cross, you can come with your shame. You can come with your chains. You can come with your biological curses and your generational tendencies. You can come with your diseases, and you can come with your desire even unto death. You can come with your suicide, and you can come with whatever has haunted you, whatever the state of your mind. When you come to the cross, you are welcome. That's why the Church of the Living God is never closed for business. The lights are never out. Oh, the building might be shut down, but not the body, because the body circulates with a vision. The body circulates with the blood of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors because we are keepers of a holy message, of the good news, of a gospel that'll bring you out of darkness into marvelous light. Let's lift him up in Jesus' name. What qualifies me to be a witness? The moment I was buried in Jesus' name and filled with his spirit, and God took those old tattered garments off of my body, and he put a robe of what? I didn't deserve it. He knew I didn't deserve it, but he gave it to me anyway. Why am I trying to hold another standard to somebody else of one that I didn't live up to? Why am I trying to put the law of my human opinion on somebody and say, well, they don't deserve to be in church? You don't deserve to be in church. Oh, I rubbed something wrong right then. Because somebody's saying, yeah, I was raised in a good atmosphere and my family taught me that. I don't care if you're squeaky clean. You've never said a word of profanity, told a dirty joke. You've never committed fornication or adultery or told a lie. When you were born into this world without the grace of God, you are at best gross, filthy, lost. Be seated for a few moments. Some of the greatest revelations of God's holiness that I've ever had is when I've looked in the mirror of his word and I've seen my own humanity. And when I've seen my humanity, I realize how holy he really is. And that I don't have a right to walk around with a magnifying glass detecting everybody's flaw, but I need to get in the flow of blood's forgiveness and say, take me back to the throne of grace, get me back to the cross, because there and only there can I become what I need to become to be a witness, to be a model, to be an example of Jesus to a lost world. I'm going to tell you something. This may be controversial, but I don't blame some people in the world for the distaste of Christianity. No, it doesn't justify the debauchery that they're in, but sometimes the religious world is full of hypocrisy. We hide our own sin while we stand on our soapboxes and tell everybody else what they're doing wrong. And then we make Jesus this figure on a balcony with a scepter. That was not him, friend. In fact, that's what angered the Pharisees. You know what? You don't find Jesus really getting mad at folks in the world. You know who he reserved his righteous indignation for? People in the church. Pharisees that knew better. They could quote the Torah, but they were too busy adding laws and more regulations. Nobody could do it right. Nobody was ever good enough. And that's why he was telling them, who are you? Who are you to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel? To ignore the weightier matters of justice, joy, righteousness, and peace. Let's lift our hands and worship him in Jesus' name. Oh, I'll tell you what will help us save our generation is when we get out of our spiritual Himalayas and we walk down there among them. And some of you are. And I'm here to encourage you. Keep it up. No, I didn't say you have to be the world. You don't jump into the quicksand to save somebody out of the quicksand. But neither do you avoid that territory because you're scared you're going to fall in. You have to have some spiritual gumption and grit and discipline about you to walk into those wildernesses and say, here's a branch, here's a limb. Get a hold of this word from God. Get a hold of this rope of the gospel. We will pull you out. And don't worry about me feeling better than you, because without the grace of God, at best, gross, a terror to myself. Let's lift our hands and worship him in Jesus' name. God, I need you right now. People want to follow somebody that's been through something. Some of you have been through trauma. You've been through loss. You've been through dysfunctional pasts. You've been through addiction. No, it doesn't make you more qualified as a witness than somebody else. Your resume of guilt and all the bad things you've done doesn't necessarily make you one heralded as the great hero in the church. But the world is waiting for somebody who's not standing up acting like they're perfect. But somebody who can even acknowledge, yeah, I still got problems, but I got Jesus. I still got emotional conflicts, but I got Jesus. I still get tempted just like everybody else, and at time or two, I make a mistake, but I got Jesus. That's the difference. I'm connected to a God that loves me. A friend that sticketh closer than a word, than a brother. A word from God that brings healing to any situation. Let's lift our hands to him in Jesus' name. God, I need you right now. Romans 7 said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me? Some historians believe that this is an allusion to an ancient practice of a captive not only having been dragged out of the slaughter of his defeat, but now having, with his own wounds, chained to his back a dead body that he will have to carry until the contagion of that putrid mass takes away his life. Historians say that there was no greater punishment, crucifixion, racking, burning. This was the most debauched form of punishment. And Paul is saying, that's me. I've carried around this old dead body, the things that he did. And yet there was a light on the Damascus road that knocked him off his horse and delivered him, because he didn't just leave it at, what shall I do? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. My only hope, Paul is saying, is to get to the cross. Live at the cross. Some of us are chained to dead bodies. Things we've done. We carry around our putrid past until the contagion of that gets into our own system. And we drag around old mentalities. Oh, I can't do that. I'll never be that good. I'll never be that person. Past failures corrode our future confidence because we think, I can't go down that path. I can't go in that uncharted territory because I'm looking at past results. I see the gargantuan flaw staring back at me from the mirror of yesterday, and the corpse of a dead cause lingers on my back, and we lug it around
and we lug it around. We drag around old mentalities, and we drag around old realities, past fractures that interfere with our future performance. It's not the same as old mentalities that challenges what we think we can or cannot do. These are things that we used to do, and we used to do them well, but we no longer do them or have confidence in doing them because we have developed a fear of doing them in times of burnout and brokenness. It's kind of like an athlete who breaks his ankle. Maybe he's a mobile quarterback, and you know, he's used to dodging the tackler and making those last second moves to the right or the left, hitting the hole, churning up his speed. But he breaks his ankle, and when he comes back, he has a fear of doing what he used to do, because every time he feels a little tweak in that ankle, he's afraid it's going to fracture again. He doesn't have the confidence in doing what he used to do well. Some of us sitting here today, potentially the greatest soul winners, potentially could fill up this church ourselves. And yet, you've lost your confidence because you've made some mistakes. You've said some things you can't go back and retract. You've lost your confidence. You've let the devil chain that dead body to your back. See, the idea of that dead body on the back of the living was so that the living would become dead. But Jesus Christ took the dead body of sin on his back so that not the living would become dead, but the dead would become the living. He took us on his back in the form of that cross and took us to a hill where we could trade our suffering for salvation. You see, the cross reverses the order. The order is supposed to be that the living becomes the dead because of our putrid past that we have to carry around. But when you get to the cross, it reverses the order. The dead thing on your back becomes alive. It's alive with hope and a testimony. Look what the Lord has done. Look at the healing that he's given me. Your past no longer haunts you, but it propels you in a process of a world that needs to hear your testimony. See, now you're able to stand and say, oh yeah, I used to drink them under. I used to stay in the barroom longer than anybody else. But you, and they say, well, why are you saying that with a smile? Because I know what the Lord did. It didn't kill me. It didn't destroy me. It brought me to the church. And by the grace of God, I was baptized in Jesus' name. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm alive. I have been quickened by the work of the cross. Everybody standing now, lifting your hands to the Lord. Let's pray together all over this house. Have you lost your confidence? Have you lost your faith? Has your spiritual vision waned? Has it become blurry? Are you confused? Have you suddenly become illiterate in understanding the Word of God when it used to be so clear to you? Are you disillusioned? Come on, talk to him, church. The Holy Ghost is in this house. The one who carried the cross is in this house. The deliverer is here. The peace speaker is here. All over this house, let's lift him up. Jesus, Jesus. God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on right now. Come on right now. If you've lost your confidence, bring it to the cross. If your faith has been decreased because of personal failure or what others have done to you or what has transpired unexpectedly in your life recently, step out of your seat and let's come to the cross.
come to the cross. Bring a friend, bring a family member. Come as a child of God or come as a sinner. But we all come, as the pastor said earlier, we all come with our needs to the Lord. We all come with our hungers, our thirsts. We all come with our apprehensions and our fears. We all come with our insecurities, our blame and our shame. Come, let's stand at the cross a while. There's some saints of God in this church. You need to get rid of the body of the past. Things out of the graveyard of yesterday's failures. You need to leave the cemetery of certain thoughts once and for all. Leave it buried in the blood. Quit going back to it. Quit digging it up. Quit reliving the past. Your God, by His grace, has set you free. This is a year for you to become what you have the potential in the kingdom of God to become. This is the year for you to perform. Not inhibited by your past, but empowered by the blood of Jesus today. This is your year, 2006. Open your eyes with a clearer vision than you've ever had to do for God what you know He's called you to do, called you to be. That's here. Lift up to the Lord. If you need forgiveness, ask Him. If you need healing in your spirit, ask Him. If you feel like weeping just a while, shedding some tears, that the Lord would transform into a river of joy and peace. Let it out. Let it out. Talk to Him. Here I am, God, as we begin to sing unto the Lord, as we begin to worship Him in this altar. Let's seek His face together. Let it out, let it out, let it out. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hola mayande ala la bokote ala la mayande abakota haya. Oh, I need you today. Don't be afraid to be a sinner at the cross, because you won't leave a sinner. You'll leave a child of God, a redeemed vessel. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God, you know my struggle, the suffering, the questions, the confusion, the ongoing turmoil, the torment in my spirit. Tell Him today, Jesus, set me free. Oh, Lord. Lord, I once was lost. Lord, I know I'm found. Katiana. We got brand new people being filled with the Holy Ghost today. Come on, Saint of God, be encouraged. Sinner, be saved. Backslider, be restored at the cross. At the cross. So toyanda, yeah. Yeah, Holy Ghost. Yeah, Holy Ghost. That's it, young man. Give your heart to God right now. Oh, you haven't done that bad. There's nothing too bad for the cross. There's no sin, sickness, or disease of the mind or spirit that the blood can't cure. Come on, forgiveness can heal you today. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Yes. Oh, Lord, I see, yes, Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I once was lost. I was lost,
I feel an anointing of change in this altar. Don't stop praying. I feel an anointing of change. Sinners being changed, but even saints of God in this house today. Don't be afraid, even if you've prayed it 100 times, to ask the Lord to help you in that area again. I feel an anointing of change in this altar. Seek Him. Talk to Him while they sing this song again. In the name of the Lord, the next few minutes could change not only the way you feel about yourself, but change your view of how God's going to use you in the coming weeks and months.
Hey.
Jesus. While some of you are still praying, I feel led to do something here before you leave. From the front to the back, I wonder how many would be honest. And if you don't, if this doesn't fit, you don't have to raise your hand just to feel like you're being obedient. Not everyone is in the same place in life or struggle. But I wonder how many are here right now that have had the Holy Ghost for some time that feel like essentially there's one thing in your life. One thing in your life that's keeping you from doing for God and being in God what you really dream to be, what you really seek to be. It's just one thing. I want you to come and stand to my right. I want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus. I really feel a spirit of impartation here, the anointing of change. I really do. I feel that. I believe some of you, because of your step of faith today, are going to see immediate results in these areas. Hallelujah. If you're down here and it's that one thing, one area of your life that you feel like is the barrier, I'm going to pray right now. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord right now. I want to pray in the name of Jesus right now that that wall in your life, God will transform into a door. That that place of entrapment in your mentality, how you feel about yourself, your confidence, your faith, or even your obedience to God in that area will no longer be an island of despair, but you'll cross a bridge today. Somebody shout, today, in Jesus' name. I want everybody with your hands raised over this thing. I want you to lift your voice and say, God, I receive the Holy Ghost anointing of change in the spirit right now. That this one thing in my life that's been a barrier will become a bridge. I'm going to walk over it and I'm going to use it for my good. In Jesus, come on right now. In Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, I pray, release these saints of God, these children at the cross. Release them today for New Life Church, for this assembly, to be the witnesses, to be the leaders, to follow their pastor, to do in 2006 what they were not able to accomplish in 2005. Somebody shout with me right now. Somebody celebrate change with me right now. Somebody lift your voice in acceptance of what God is doing right now. I think while we're dancing with this lady that just got baptized, we ought to dance right here for a moment over what God's doing in our church, in our individual lives. Hey, I know what he's done for me.